Deuteronomy chapter 1 this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm going back to our topical series that I've began a long time ago. Our New Testament book we're studying through is the Gospel of John. Our Old Testament book we're studying through is the book of Exodus. And our topical series that we're going back to this morning is Smashing Satan's Strongholds. Different strongholds that the devil will try to put in your life to bring you into bondage and to hold you there, to stop your progress for the glory of God. Deuteronomy chapter 1, it's good to have some of my family here. They're up in the balcony, and that's where they need. No, I'm just kidding with you there. My mother-in-law, yes, that's Esther I see up there. Yes, and then John and Dale, God bless you, precious people. I mean, you people. I'm kidding with you. That's a joke, friends, all right? And my mother-in-law's here. And wave at me up there, Miss Mother-in-Law. She's been with us for a week, and I'm starting to feel it. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm starting to jerk a little bit up here. I've got some problems, but no, I'm just kidding with you. I have a really, really good mother-in-law, and she treats me, okay? So anyway, that's good. It is a privilege to have them here. I appreciate them being here. God bless them. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. We'll get our title. We're going to do a Bible study today. I'm not going to get through this message. I'm only going to get started with it. So I encourage you to keep coming back, because the next time I get to this, I do not know if that'll be tonight or if it'll be next week or Wednesday. Sometime we'll conclude this. Deuteronomy 1:21. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. You see the word discouraged. And I'm beginning a message this morning entitled The Stronghold of Discouragement. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done in this service. Thank you for the sweet presence that we felt already here. And I pray that you'll take full control of my words, of my mind. May everything that's said be well-pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we continue with our study on strongholds. And we begin this message on a stronghold the devil uses often, quite often, on people in their service for the Lord and some that are in this service today and around the world. The stronghold of discouragement is one of the most, if not, I'm talking about, is one that most, if not all, will deal with at some time in our lives. The word discouragement means to deprive of courage. It means to deprive of hope, deprive of confidence. It means to dishearten, to dispirit, to faint with fatigue, fear, or grief. It means to be beaten down. That's what it means. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been discouraged? Are you discouraged now? If you have ever been discouraged or you're discouraged now, you are not alone. This is a stronghold the devil uses to keep you from God's best for your life. Now, in this message, we're going to do a Bible study, turning to different passages of Scripture because it's a topical message. And I want you to ask the Lord to speak to your heart to help you live in victory over discouragement. Let me say this. You will experience discouragement. It will come to you. It's not a matter of do you experience it, because everybody here does. But it's a matter of, do you live in victory over it? Now, let's look at this stronghold together. May I say this to you, that life that God has given, God intends it to be a blessing. But discouragement makes it seem like drudgery. And I want to talk to you about this today. First of all, let's look at the root of discouragement. I'm going to give you the causes of discouragement. Now, there's no way that we can fully preach on every cause. I'm just giving you just a simple overview of this, some things just to keep in mind. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, and I want you to turn to the book of Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21 and Nehemiah chapter number 4. And I'm going to Nehemiah first. In Nehemiah chapter 3, when you study that book, you'll notice that the people, when you come to chapter 3, they have been stirred in the work of God. But in chapter 4, when you come to Nehemiah chapter 4, opposition to the work of God has arose. It is on the scene. Now, folks, listen to me. It's time to realize that when things are going well and God is blessing, that the enemy does not approve of that. And he'll do anything he can to stop the progress of God in your life. One thing that he will try to do is he'll try to throw something in your pathway to discourage you. This is what he does. Discouraged people don't do much for God typically. Now, this being the case, we're going to Nehemiah chapter 4 because in chapter 3 there's a mighty stirring of God among the people. God is working, God is blessing, things are going great. Then chapter 4. In life, there's always a chapter 4. And when you come to chapter 4, I'm going to bring out some things here. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come into the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Now, I've already preached through this book together with you. You can go back and get it if you'd like to get it recorded. But I hope you take my word for it. These folks at this time in chapter 4, they've been stirred in chapter 3. They are now discouraged in chapter number 4. And in these verses, I see several causes of discouragement. Several things that can help discouragement come to fruition in your life. Number one, we see the first root of discouragement is fatigue, tiredness, when you're worn out. Notice verse number 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Now get this. Notice this phrase here where he says, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. The word decayed here means to totter. It means to waver. It means to have weakness of legs. The point here is this. These people are serving God. They are building a wall. They are tired. They are worn out. And this phrase means that their legs are not strong. Their legs are crumbling underneath them. Now get this. At this time of fatigue, at this time when they were worn out doing the work of God, discouragement set in. Vince Lombardi said this, fatigue makes cowards of us all. One man said it this way, the construction project, talking about this project here, building the wall, required 52 days of back-breaking labor. Halfway finished, the workers had been going at it for a month. That's at this time. Fatigue was catching up with them, and when energy runs short, so does courage. The point is fatigue, tiredness, being worn out is a root cause of discouragement. One man said, you begin to be tense, irritable, gloomy. Those are the times when your enemy, the devil, circles your name on his agenda. Discouragement intensifies when you're tired. Let me ask you a question. You ever been doing something for God? You know it's for God. It might be a bus route. It might be a Sunday school class. It might be something else that you're doing for God. It might be your marriage that you're building. By the way, that's hard work, okay? I mean, anything in this life worth anything, let me be honest with you, it's going to take some hard work, okay? May I say to you that the work of God is not a work for sissies. And may I say to you that the work of God is not a work for people who are lazy. These folks were stirred for God in chapter 3. They are building the wall of God, which is God's will for their life. They are giving their life to the work of God. This is a good thing, but halfway through it, they are tired. They're worn out. And then they all of a sudden say, there's too much rubbish here. We can't do this anymore. I mean, our legs are about to fall out from under us. You ever been there? Some of you are discouraged today, and one of the root causes is you're just worn out. You're tired. You're fatigued. May I say, when you are tired, you're worn out, watch out. Because discouragement comes with fatigue. Second root right here in verse number 10 was the wrong focus. We see this in verse number 10. Notice their language. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Notice this next phrase. And there is much rubbish. There's much rubbish. See, the second root cause of their discouragement was their focus. They had their eyes on the wrong thing because they said, look at all this rubbish out here. Now get this, that rubbish was being made as they were making the wall. They should have had their eyes on the wall. They should have had their eyes on the will of God. They should have had their eyes on what God gave them to do. But when they were tired and fatigued and becoming discouraged, they didn't see the wall. They saw the rubbish instead. Now get this. Have you ever worked for days and weeks on mundane details, then stepped back and wondered if your efforts have any significance at all? Tired as they were, the Israelites no longer saw the gleaming walls of their dreams. I mean, this wall was God's will for their life. This wall was of God. God was glorified in it. They were living for the will and the glory of God. But then they got tired. They got discouraged. And instead of seeing the wall, they started looking at all the garbage around. Said, look at all this rubbish around here. Let me tell you something. They would nearly collapse in weariness when the sun went down, and then arriving for work the next morning, it would appear as if nothing had been accomplished. Look at all this rubbish. Hey, it seemed as if the debris had a life of its own and was multiplying. You know what was happening? They were burned out, friends. They were get this. What God had given them was worth them dying for. They were building the wall and doing a great, fantastic job at it. But when they got tired and discouragement seeped in, they started looking at the wrong thing. You know what the point here is? Is when you're tired, you can lose focus and you can start dwelling on the rubbish instead of the wall. One man said this way, they couldn't see the picture of the shining city, only the debris. You know, it's easy to lose sight of the finished product and dwell on the rubbish around and become frustrated and discouraged. Concerning the devil, one preacher said it this way, he wants you to focus only on the negative aspects of your situation. When you find yourself discouraged, we've all been there. But when you find yourself there and it's hard to get out of it, it seems like you just can't get out of it, it is a sure sign that you're looking at the wrong thing. Mark it down. Mark it down. Because let me say something to you. Anything that God gives you to do, whether it be building a marriage, whether it be building a ministry, whether it be building a bus route, whether it be building a Sunday school, I'm applying to the church here a little bit, whether it be doing anything, any wall that God gives you to build, the devil's going to try to discourage you and get you to put your tools down and stop. That's what he's trying to do. And one thing he does is when you're discouraged, you have the capability, if you will, of start looking at everything around it instead of what God's given you to do. Hey, can I say something to you? The work of God's not always clean. Sometimes there's some rubbish around. But let's not get our eyes on the rubbish. Let's get our eyes on the wall and glorify God for what he's doing in our midst. A root cause of discouragement is a wrong focus, fatigue. Number three, threat. We see this in verses 11 and 12. I've already read it there. But if you read those verses, you'll see the enemies of the work of God were threatening them. No doubt this was a tactic to intimidate them and cause them to fear for their lives. One preacher said the job was grueling enough. But there is also the matter of these neighbors stopping by to put a word in their ear. Nothing derails the work of God's people like a negative word. The point is, this threat was playing on their fears. And when the people felt attacked and threatened, it led to discouragement in their life. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been threatened? Threats come in different ways. Now, when you think threatened today, you think your life threatened, okay? Well, that's what they're getting threatened. Their life is under threat, okay? But may I say this to you? There are all kinds of threats. There's all kinds of things that the devil will throw in your life to get you to fear, to get you afraid. And when you're discouraged, you have to stop and say, wait a minute. What caused this? And almost every time, it's something that in one form or another threatened you. Threatened your security. Threatened your respect. Threatened your life. So we see that the root for discouragement is threat. We see the root for discouragement, I'm talking about right here in Nehemiah, was the wrong focus. They had their eyes on the rubbish instead of the wall. We see the root for their discouragement was fatigue. They were tired. They were worn out. And then in Numbers chapter 21, hold your place now in Nehemiah and in Numbers, because we're going to be going back and forth here a little bit. Look at Numbers chapter 21, verse 1. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And the Lord and Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou would indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. Notice verse 4 closely. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Now let me explain this. This is root number 4, then we move on to major part number 2. We see the root of discouragement just from these two stories. Now there are other roots, but I'm giving you these. We see is fatigue, they're tired. We see it's the wrong focus. They're looking in the wrong place. God wants them to look at the wall, keep their eyes on Him and His will for their life, and yet they're focused on the rubbish instead. We see the root of threat. People are threatening their life, and when you feel threatened, it's going to try to discourage you. And right here, number 4, the unexpected. You say, what do you mean? See, when you study this passage here, the Israelites journeyed from Mount Hor. They were refused the way they requested, and they returned through Arabah, the way of the Red Sea. Now, stay with me here, because this has a point to it. To Elath, at the head of the eastern gulf of the Red Sea. Now, get this. They passed up through the mountains to the eastern desert. In other words, they were disappointed to find themselves so close to the promised land without entering it. Instead, they were routed through a sandy desert and plunged into new and unknown difficulties. They were, get this, their plans went kaput. They wanted to go that way, and they were forced to go another way. And the Bible says, as a result of this, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. What way? The unexpected way. The way that was not on their plans. The way that was not on their schedule. Hey, let me say this to you. When your life takes an unexpected turn, it can lead to discouragement. When you have plans to go right and they force you to go left, discouragement is right around the curve. Some of you come in here this morning and life has thrown a curveball at you. Something you did not expect. When life throws those, by the way, life's good at throwing curveballs. Amen or not, friends? Anything ever been thrown at you that you didn't expect? Whether it be at work, whether it be in your home, whether it be, I mean, anything. I mean, everybody has a curveball thrown at them. You know what hurts? When you're expecting a fastball, that's when it hurts. Because life ends up throwing the unexpected at you. And when when you get something unexpected, be careful. Because the devil's going to try to get in the crack of that door right there and discourage your heart. That's the root. Number 2, let me give you the results. I'm going to try to get to the remedy today and then later give you the response. Hopefully I can get to the remedy at least. Number 2, the results. What does discouragement lead to? Now, I want you to turn now to the book of Haggai chapter 2. Yes, that is a Bible book, friends, okay? It's close to the end of the Old Testament. Turn to Haggai chapter 2. The second major thing Hold your place in Numbers. Hold your place in Nehemiah as well. Okay, I'm starting to confuse myself here. So anyway, second major thing I want you to see about discouragement as we do a Bible study on this stronghold. We've noticed the root of it. Tired, threatened, looking at the wrong thing, the unexpected. Now we look at the results. There are several results, and I'm gonna give you from these passages right here and also another passage, okay? First of all, the first result of discouragement, if you're discouraged, it can lead to this. Number one, it can weaken you. Now, we see this in Haggai chapter 2, and look at verse number 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. Now, I've preached through this little book with you. Some of you don't remember that. I hardly remember myself. But anyway, I've preached through this book with you as well. You can go back and get this message. So I'm just building on this here. When you come to chapter 2 of Haggai, again, you will find that things are going good. When all of a sudden something hits them to discourage them and dishearten their efforts. Now again, let us never forget that when you are going God's way and doing what God wants you to do, the devil's going to try to see to it that we are bombarded with things to discourage us. This is what's happening in this text. Things are going good here. They're working in the will of God. Then they get discouraged. They're doing the work of God when discouragement hits them right between the eyes. Now, have you ever been discouraged while doing something for God? Yes? Sure. Now, get this. Have you ever been doing something for God and life is great? I mean, you've got peace. I mean, everything. God is working in your heart. You feel the presence of God, and then all of a sudden, pow! Something hits you right between the eyes. That's what's happening in the book of Haggai. When this discouragement hit them, notice what the Bible says. Three times it says, be strong, be strong, be strong. You know what this tells me? This tells me that when you're discouraged, you are weakened in the things of God. You're not strong, you're weakened. It sucks the strength out of you. It doesn't give you strength, it takes strength from you. It wears you down, is what I'm trying to say. Secondly, we see in Haggai chapter 2, verse 4, that it can stop you working in God's will. Because the Bible says right here, it says, be strong, all ye people of the land, halfway through it, saith the Lord, and work, and work. See, the Lord encourages them to work here. Why is he doing that? Why? Because this tells me that this discouragement can lead to disrupting the work of God. It can stop your working in God's will. Let me say this to you. I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is another message anyway on this with the response. So let me go ahead and say it right here. If you're discouraged today, please don't get on the sideline when God wants you on the field. If you're discouraged today, one of the worst things you can do is stop doing God's will. By the way, that's what discouragement does. It tries to stop you doing the will of God. Number three, Nehemiah chapter 4. Told you to hold your place there. So in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 10, we see that discouragement can deceive you. We see this in verse number 10 where it says this, there's much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. We're not able to do this. We can't do this. This is impossible. Question, was that true? No, that was not true. Because God gave them the work to do. God is going to give them the strength to get it done. But when they're discouraged, they say, it's finished. We can't go any further. Look at this rubbish. We can't work around here anymore. Look at, you know what, they're deceived. They are deceived people. One preacher said it this way, Nehemiah's people hadn't failed at all. But it appeared that way to them. These people said they were not able to build the wall. It is as if they said, hey, this was a great idea. Now, let me tell you something. This was a great idea, but we've been at it a month and we can't take it anymore. The fact of the matter is this, that was not true. But because they were discouraged, they thought what they said was true. Can I say this to you? May I say this to you? When you're discouraged, you start to believe things that are simply not the truth. When you're discouraged, you start literally believing lies. You think the world's against you. You think nobody understands you. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. That's not true. But that's what discouragement does. It deceives you. Numbers chapter 21 and verse number 4 and 5. Look at Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. This is the same verse that says they were much discouraged because of the way. Look at verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. You say, what in the world's that? You know what discouragement, you know what a result of discouragement is? Complaining. You say, Jody, what are you talking about? Get this. As a result of their unexpected turn, they wanted to go this way, they were forced to go that way. They had their plans were obliterated, if you will. I mean, their life took a left turn. It was unexpected. It was something that they didn't know was coming. And when that happened, they started complaining. The Bible says they murmured against God. They murmured against Moses. And get this. They said, we don't have any water. Really? Really? God gave them water out of a rock. They said, we don't have any bread, and our soul loatheth this light bread. What bread were they talking about? The manna. It was angels' food, if you will. God gave them bread from heaven, and they said, we loathe this light bread. You know what that word light, look it up. You know what that word light means? It means it's not good enough. It means this is insubstantial. It's not good enough. God had been so good to them. God had allowed water to come out of a rock. God had given them manna from heaven, and they said, we don't have any bread at all. And they're staring at manna. And they said, oh, by the way, and our soul loatheth. We can't stand this light bread. This bread that God gave is not good enough for me. You say, how in the world did they get in that situation? Because their life took a left turn unexpectedly, and they started complaining about God's goodness. And they said, God, did you take us out of Egypt to kill us in the wilderness? You listening to me? I'm plowing on somebody's row. Because the fact of the matter is, this is one of the results of discouragement. You take the goodness of God, you criticize it. You think your life's terrible, and the whole time God's up there, I'm paraphrasing, saying, what? Look how good I've been to you. Hey, let me ask you a question. Has God been good to you? Has God taken care of you down through the years? Has he put food on your table and clothes on your back and a roof over your head? Hey, has God been? He's been good to us. But when you're discouraged, you start complaining. That's a result. Let me give you another result. Discouragement can also keep you from God's best. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, you don't need to turn to it, but in Deuteronomy chapter number 1, just let me turn there. The Bible tells us a story here about how their discouragement kept them from God's best. Deuteronomy chapter number 1, verse number 21. Here's what it says. Boy, Numbers is a long book, isn't it? All right. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, into what cities we shall come. In other words, he's talking about the spies being sent into the promised land. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went up into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, it is good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying, the people is greater and taller than we, the cities are great and walled up to heaven, and moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakims there. Paraphrase. Did God promise them the promised land? Absolutely. God said, that promised land's yours. I'm going to give it to you. So they sent 12 spies. 10 of them comes back. All of them come back and say this, hey, that land's exactly what God said it was. That's a beautiful land, great land. But 10 of them, the Bible says, discouraged the children of Israel. And instead of getting up at once and going with the promise of God, they're murmuring in their tent saying, God's just trying to kill us. God's playing a game with us. God doesn't love us. He's trying to kill us. Get this. The grapes were so big. My wife wrote a song on this. The grapes were so big that they had to carry one cluster and it took two men to carry it in between them. May I say this to you? The land that God wants you to live in has big grapes in it. Amen. Big grapes. But the devil also has giants and walled cities there. And he's trying to get you to look at the great cities and the walled cities and the giants instead of the grapes. And instead of all these other things, and instead of believing God and going forward, discouragement calls you to sit back and start murmuring. And here's the last result. It keeps you from God's best for your life. The promised land was the very best for the children of Israel. But their discouragement kept them out. If you're discouraged today, it does not get you into the promised land. It keeps you from the... I'm not talking about heaven, friends. The promised land's not a picture of heaven. I'm not crossing Jordan to go to heaven. I'm not crossing Jordan to go to heaven. That is not a right song. Because the fact of the matter is, you don't get to heaven by your good works. That, by the way, there's no giants to kill in heaven. Somebody say amen, friends. There's no walled city. That's not a picture of heaven. The promised land is a picture of the blessed life. It's a picture of what God has for you. That's what it is. He wants you to live with those blessings. He wants to take care of you. He wants you to eat on those grapes. That's what he has for you. But discouragement keeps you out of that. Now, let me get started at least. Because really all I've done so far, I've blasted discouragement. I mean, it's just... Oh. If I sent you home right now, you'd say, good night, he beat the daylights out of me. Will you agree with me to this point that discouragement is not a good thing? Yes? There's nothing good comes from it. And every reason it comes to us is a bad reason. Tired? Discouraged. Look at that rubbish when the wall is being built, for crying out loud. I mean, it deceives. There's nothing good from it. I want you to turn to Haggai chapter 2. I'm going to get started with this, and then I'll get you out of here before 2 o'clock, okay? What are you laughing about there, friends, you know? Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. I'm not going to read it for time's sake. But I give number 3, at least going to start here. I give the remedy for discouragement. The remedy. The cure. What is it? In these verses, God gives a remedy for those whose hearts are discouraged. And let me say from the outset here that the only remedy for discouragement is found in the Lord God of heaven. That's it. There's no pill you can take to encourage you. There's nothing you can do. You cannot, listen to me, friends. If you're discouraged and you're discouraged today, you cannot say, I'm encouraged. You can't do it. You can't do it. Only God can help you with this. He is the remedy. One, only He can truly take discouragement and encourage you. Now, let's look at how He does this. What does God give to encourage you when you're discouraged? I may only get through one of these, okay? Hoping I'm putting you on a hook where you want to come back and get more. You know what I'm saying? Now get the picture. When you come to this book here, Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 9, when you come here, they have failed more than once. They were feeling rejected. They were in the bonds of discouragement. God was working in their heart and life in chapter 1, but discouragement hits them in chapter 2. Now they're feeling rejected. They feel in the bonds of discouragement. This discouragement led to disobedience. This is all in this book here. It's a great little book to study. But now get this. Instead of God giving up on them while they're discouraged, he steps in and he says to Haggai, "Speak now." Now you'll find this in this book. Speak now. He knew these discouraged people needed direction and needed hope. Therefore, he gave them three things to bring them out of their discouragement. Number one, he gave them his presence. We see this in verse 4. "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. Be strong, ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." The first thing that God told them, if you will, he told Haggai, he said, "Speak now," verse number 2, "speak now, speak now, speak now." And when you speak, you tell them and you remind them of this, you remind them that while they're discouraged, I'm still with them. Let me tell you something, friends. Even though you may be discouraged and others are comparing, I'm talking about right here in this book, others were comparing the old house with this new house, and they were saying it's not like the old days, it's not like that. I'm talking about this book of Haggai. Get this. God said to these discouraged people while they're trying to work hard, and the older generation was coming and saying, Oh, it's not like the old one. It's not like the old one was. I mean, it's not as good as it used to be. By the way, thank God for the old days. Thank God for how he worked in the past. But don't you ever go to a young person and say, it'll never be done like it used to. Don't ever say that. Because we serve the same God as was back in the past. And they are discouraging the younger generation. They're saying it's not like the old days. It's not like this. And God said, speak now. And you tell them this. I am with you. Glory, friends. The one major thing that he says is, if it's not like the old days, and it may not be as good as it was back then, I am still the same God, and the God that was with them back then is still with you today. You know what gets you out of discouragement? Realizing God is with you. He is with his children. And may I say this? That's really all that matters. Having his presence was much more important than the outward appearance of the temple. They had their eyes on what the temple looked like. And God said, it's not about the building, it's about me. It's not what the building looks like, it's about who's in the building. It's about my presence. You know, in the same way, even at times when you feel discouraged as God's child, get this. And I'm going to stop right here, okay, when I get to the end of this point here. God has promised to never leave you, never forsake you. And he knows what you're going through. You know what a discouraged heart does? It backs off into a corner somewhere. It secludes itself. It separates from everybody. And then it starts saying like this. It turns its back on everybody like this and then says, I'm so lonely. Nobody understands. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. You know, you can say that without ever saying it. The Lord tells his children, while you're discouraged, while you're tempted to stop working, while your knees are buckling underneath you. Listen, friends, God had every right to rebuke them. He had every right to say, what's your problem? Get out of the slums. Why are you discouraged? He had every right to do that. But instead of rebuking them, he reminded them and said, you tell them that I'm with them. Can I tell you what's helped me when I'm discouraged? when God visits with me. And he just reminds me when my heart is troubled, son, you're not alone. I'm still here. I praise God for his presence. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31:8, and the Lord said, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. First Chronicles 28:20, David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And I close with this. Romans 8:35, 37, and 39. Listen to this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The stronghold of discouragement. If the host of everything is against us, and God is with us, we can be encouraged. Amen, friends. Now we're started with this. And I've just started with the remedy. There's two other parts right here in Haggai chapter. I hope you'll come back and get those. But I encourage you today, no doubt in a crowd this size, there are discouraged hearts. No doubt. There may be somebody discouraged that nobody on planet Earth knows it but you and God. And I'm telling you that whatever that discouragement is, it had a root. It could be that you're just worn out. It could be that you're looking at rubbish instead of the big picture and what God's doing. It could be that you feel threatened on something that's happened, or it could be that your life took a left turn when you thought it was going straight ahead. And that discouragement's come into your life to weaken you. Try to get you to stop doing anything for God. It's trying to take you down. It's trying to wear you out. It's trying to stop the progress that God has done in your life. If you're not careful, that discouragement can cause you to start thinking things that are simply not true, but you believe them anyway. And if you're not careful, that discouragement will cause you to start complaining about manna. And instead of getting on your face and thanking God for the manna that he gave you that he didn't have to, you start complaining about your life instead of the blessing that God has given to you to even live life. And if you're not careful, that discouragement will keep you from the grapes that God has for you that's so big that two men has to carry them on one pole. Hey, can I say something to you? I want those grapes. I want them grapes. But my heart's discouraged. I see the great cities instead. I see the walled cities. I see the giants over there. And I go in my tent over here and I just start murmuring and complaining. And while there's so much more I want to give you to help you in this, I think it's great that the Lord stopped me with the first point, because really everything else comes with this. God is the answer to discouragement. And if you're saved today, hear him speak to Haggai. While the people are discouraged, while the people are really struggling, while the people are tempted to stop working, God, in his grace and his mercy, instead of coming down with the hammer, says, Haggai, speak now and tell them that I still with them. That's all we really need. Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ? Does he live inside of you? If he does, be encouraged. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, I pray that you will help this service to be a service that helps somebody who's discouraged. Give me direction now as I lead this. In Jesus' name, amen. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Have you come here today and in your heart is discouraged? Have you come here today and something, maybe your life took a left turn when instead of taking a right turn? As they begin to play through softly when they get prepared, are you tired in the things of God? Have you have a tendency to look at the rubbish instead of the wall? Do you feel weak today instead of strong? You had a tendency to start complaining when God's been so good. Can I say this to you? Everybody has to fight against this. Are there grapes still in your future that God wants you to reach out and claim by faith? But the devil has a giant there, you see. He has a walled city there. He's trying to keep you out. If you're working on the wall, he wants you to be discouraged to the point to where you take your hammer and drop it down and say, there's too much rubbish, I can't do this anymore. You understand what I'm trying to say? This is how discouragement works. And the first thing that we've looked at, the rest of this message has to do with overcoming. But I want to do at least get started with this, which I think is a great place to start and to stop with this earth, with this first service. Do you have God's presence? Does he live in you? Are you born again? Have you trusted Christ? Are you a child of God? Have you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? You've trusted Christ and Christ alone. No doubt he has saved your soul and you are going to heaven. You know that. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about it. Amen. By the way, isn't it good to be able to raise your hand to that question? You can put your hands down. Thank you. Is there one today say, Jody, I can't raise my hand to that, but I sure would like to. I can't raise it, but I sure would like to. I'd like to know I'm a Christian. I'd like to know I'm saved. The Lord's dealing in my heart. And I believe I need to trust Christ as my Savior. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are saying, God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else? You say, I need to be saved. I need to be born again. Now, just a moment, when we give an invitation, you come, we'll help you. The Lord loves you. Let me ask this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm going to be honest. I came in this church service today discouraged. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I came in today discouraged. I did. Put it up big and high. Would you do that? Well, that's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. You can put your hands down. If you raised your hand a moment ago saying you know you're saved, the message for you today is that there's nothing good that comes from discouragement. But if you're anything like me, you don't want it. You want to live in victory over it. And I'm telling you, the one thing that God gave you today is that he's still with you. The one thing God gave you today is that you do not have to fight this alone. He's still with you. He's not forsaken you. He's not left you. And his presence can carry you through. I'm going to invite you to the altar. Ask the Lord to help you. Rejoice in his presence in your life. And ask him to keep you from complaining and murmuring. Keep you from dwelling on the rubbish and look at the wall instead. Ask God to help you. His presence in your life. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, I pray. May your will be done. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If God is speaking to you, as Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do that?
Oh, soul, are you
weary? I'm discouraged. I need help. Come on. Come talk to the Lord about it.
No light in the darkness.
You're not sure you're saved. Come on. Come talk to the Lord about it.
There's light for a look at the Savior.
There's time for you. The Lord is dealing with you.
And life more abundant and free.
Know it, sing it.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus,
that verse one more time. If nobody else comes, this will be it. Let's sing together.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life for a the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
We want to pray together, but let me say this statement before we pray. If you don't need this message today, praise God for it. But there's coming a day when you will. God gives you life and tarries His coming. Every one of us are going to fight discouragement. And the one thing you take home with you today, hope you'll come back to get more later, but if you're saved, you have the presence of God to help you. May the Lord help us with this. I'm going to ask Brother Butch Abbott, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer. Remind the visitors to take your cards out to the Welcome Center. Thank you for being here today. God bless you for coming. Be back tonight, please, if you will.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for meeting with us this morning. We thank you for being able to go into your word and find something that will help us. And that's exactly what we found this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. May we look throughout our lives and find more and more reasons that we have. Thanking you. We thank you for all that, even the things we don't see, but we know they're there because you're there. So, Father, go with us.